But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 1 and 26. So often we are able to look at the similarities that lie within the nations of Israel and that of America. Both started their journeys with the hand of the Lord upon them. Both founded their guiding principles upon the words of the Lord, and both turned their back to him and refused to follow his lead and instead struck out on their own. Both have yet to acknowledge that the leaders that they have chosen to lead them were merely men and did not have what it takes to overcome the obstacles that came before them. They both have continued down a path where they are walking on streets filled with arrogance and clouds of ignorance float in the skies overhead. The people of Israel were forced from their home, and they were sent back out into the world, and this for her disobedience as a nation. The United States, by the constant cuts made to her border, is rather than being dispersed into the world, finding that the world is being sent to her, coming with all of its wars and factions within the people pouring over her border, and with them comes the elements of infection, and the cuts begin to show all the signs of sickness and toxicity setting in. What America has forgotten is that God promised that Israel would have that land forever. He had claimed the land and he would set them in it, and both they and the land he called his own. And nowhere does it say in the Bible the same of America. Could this simple understanding have helped the people of America keep hold of their faith, knowing that everything truly does depend upon the faithfulness of God and the provisions given them by him? Salvation alone is of the Lord, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Salvation, one's freedom, is a gift. The provisions given, a gift. The protection offered, a gift. And life itself, a gift from God. It is not to be taken by force, but accepted with gratitude and given thanks for. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses reminds the people of the journey that they have taken after leaving Egypt, and he recounts to them the trouble that they have brought upon themselves, and of the promises made by God that they rejected as beneficial to their very existence and longevity. He said to them, "But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, 'The Lord hates us,' and so he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are, and the cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there. And when I said to you, 'Do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them,' the Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. And in spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in the cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. And when the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, 'Not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your forefathers, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me also, and said, 'You shall not enter it either. But your assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. And the little ones that you said would be taken captive, your children, who do not yet know good from bad, they will enter the land. I will give it to them, and they will take possession of it. But as for you, turn around and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea.' And then you replied, 'We've sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight as the Lord our God commanded us.' And so every one of you put on his weapons, thinking it easy to go up into the hill country. But the Lord said to me, 'Tell them, do not go up and fight, because I will not be with you, and you will be defeated by your enemies.' And so I told you, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command, and in your arrogance you marched up into the hill country. And the Amorites who lived in those hills came out against you. They chased you like a swarm of bees and beat you down from Seir all the way to Hormath. You came back and wept before the Lord. But he paid no attention to your weeping and turned a deaf ear to you. And so you stayed in Kadesh many days all the time you spent there. Deuteronomy 1:26-46. It is a steady progression to the bottom of all things when first a nation begins to turn its back on God. When under his hand of protection, of provision, under his watchful eye, they did not acknowledge what was being done for them, and the preparations being set in place for their arrival, and the blessings that would fall upon them, soon would be forgotten. Forgotten as to why they were where they were, and forgotten were the promises made to them by God. The hardships, their dependence on God, and the inconveniences, their not having as they wanted. These of their trip made the continuation even more of a difficult journey than it need have been, and made a people joyful for their freedom at the onset, now resentful for having been set free, because things were not as they had imagined they would be, and almost instantaneously their joy began to fade and darkness crept in during the light of day. So near to the promised land they came. Israel would not trust and move when God said to move at the border of the promised land, and fear gripped those whom God would lead into the land to secure it for the generations ahead. By their fear and misplaced trust, they discouraged the others, and soon weakness spread amongst the people. They did not trust to follow the Lord into battle, but carried out their plans on the day of their choosing. They chose to fight after Moses had spoken to them, saying that because of their fearful hearts, God had said that they, that generation, would not enter into the land, and this brought them to realize that they had turned from the Lord in the power of his hand, and they then decided that now would be the time to go and fight. And this even after being forewarned by the Lord not to go, because he would not be with them, and yet they proceeded on their own. They had again turned their back on him, and now they would be on their own. His protection now lifted, and it would lead to their defeat. America, her forefathers, sought the guidance of the Lord. They acknowledged him in their writings. Even those who did not have a relationship with him agreed that there was providence and the need of a hand of higher power to guide a nation and her people from her birth and throughout her lifetime. And by this, she would be a blessing to her people and to the nations. For generations, this proved to be truth. And as she grew, she shared her wealth, and she shared her shores with foreigners who saw the blessing that fell upon her and wanted to become a part of who she was. But her prosperity grew in ways that proved that the sinful nature in a man would, having been given the right opportunity, become rather than strength and hope, empowerment for the darkness of a man's heart. And it soon filled the land with weakness and covetousness. Light became darkness, and day became night for America. The Puritans and Pilgrims came also into a land, a good land, plentiful, and this given by the Lord to them. But like Israel, they started out following the Lord and his ways, his statutes, and made them a part of the new nation's foundations, the pillars that would help to raise up and grow a nation and gather a people together, one nation under God. But like Israel, her people began to forget God. She, America, was not like Israel in respect to being a chosen nation or a people called to be his own. But America was to be a nation greatly blessed by God. And when at her best, she would, by the Lord's blessings, become a blessing to others herself. But she also would not guard her heart. And she welcomed in people and gave power to those who hated her, envied her, and wanted to see her purged of any kind of righteousness, and from the shadows slithered those who would plan, manipulate, and direct her journey into the darkness, and she would become like the nations around her, shedding goodness and putting on wickedness. Like a plague, a sickness has covered the land. Oh, people are awakening to the situation that is set in, but it is in looking again for a Messiah, someone to bring them out of the darkness and the hard times that they look for. Again, in the history of the nations, men look to men rather than look to God. Sadly, the awakening taking place in America is only of the flesh, and the awakening of the spirit within a man has yet to be heard or seen. Lord, give this people of the desert that is now America eyes to see and ears to hear. In your name, Jesus. Amen.